Hey Fadies, I'm DM Brad, and this is Chapter 6, Episode 11 of The Fate of Isin. Can you believe we're already 11 episodes into Chapter 6? That's wild! Oh, and in case you didn't know, we are coming up on our 3-year anniversary really soon. 3 years of hilarious roleplay, Nat 1s, seriously, so many freaking Nat 1s, Chaos Curses, and world-saving antics. Thank you so much for being with us for these past years. We are all truly grateful to have had you along on this journey with us. To celebrate, we will be doing a giveaway pretty soon. We haven't got all the details sorted out just yet, but make sure you're following us all over social media. That's at Fate of Isin on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Twitch, and all the places. And that way, when we know more, you'll know more too. And while you're at it, how about dropping into Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, or wherever you feed your podcast addiction and chucking a review our way? We love those, and they really help us grow. Before we crack on, a quick reminder that our good friends over at Dice Vault are offering Fate of Isin listeners, that's you guys, a 20% discount on gaming accessories. Just head to dicevault.com and use the promo code RESISTANCE to get yourself a wicked deal. In this episode, we are once again joined by our very good friend Waffles from the Waffles and Mario Talk About Things podcast. We love having Waffles in the game with us, and he's going to be with us for a few more episodes yet. So you know what? Let's recap. Are you ready? Last time, the Apple Squaddeth engaged in a fierce battle with Frosty, the ancient white dragon, in the heart of the city of Stonemaw. With the help of their new friend Hot Beans the Druid and a horde of 500,000 Kiori battle mice, they fought bravely and seemed to be having some success against the gargantuan menace. But the question remains, will their combined might be enough? Oh, Miles, like you just really hurt this fucking thing.
Nice.
A lot.
Good job. And that's my whole turn. I'm just going to stand there, braced.
And it is now Arcus. So you're sort of underneath it, you two, on the ground. Oh, actually, all three of you are sort of underneath the dragon.
I need to heal. So I'll do that. I'm going to cure wounds. Touching myself. As you do to cure wounds, I rolled a 20.
Nice.
It's pretty good. I'm pretty happy with that. And for a bonus action, can I dagger stab again?
It's up in the air, so...
Oh, no, yeah. Could I throw? I can throw things,
Your spiritual weapon has range.
Yeah.
It's sort of basically like a mental projection. It's not so much a weapon.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can attack it at range. 19 AC.
Great. I shapeshift into more of a slingshot.
Classic Arcus. Yep. Arcus's go-to.
I love a slingshot. It's either that or a javelin, you know? And I create the discus, and I throw a discus at it.
Now that's what you call ultimate frisbee.
I got 16.
That misses. So just your discus of energy just sort of hits it and bounces off its underside.
That's frustrating.
Ineffectively. And Hottest Beanicus.
Oh, he's not doing well. He's healing too. Oh, Dice. Sweet. Why don't you like me?
And while you do that, the mice are going to do some more damage. No, mice. That's only a 4 all up. That's the worst the mice have ever done.
No! I taught you better than this.
The formation that they made to avoid all of Marley's arrows has weakened their attack. And now we're back around to the top of the round, and Frosty is going to one last ditch effort. It's been hurt so badly, you can all tell he's on his last legs.
Or wings. Is he still only 20 foot up the ground? Because he's going to take his cloudy cloud again.
I meant for you to, after he did his wing attack and you successfully saved but still took some damage.
Oh, yeah.
Make a constitution saving throw, please. Oh, and he also got you with a bite. Oh, no, he didn't.
He didn't.
With the shield. Yep.
No. I rolled very bad. Also, I changed my, digital dice to the everlasting rhyme ones that you get from the Frost Maiden release.
Yep.
And they're awesome. I think everybody should use them.
I've still never used digital ones. I like having clickety-clacks to roll in front of me.
You know, if you open up the D&D Beyond, though, you can see all of our roles in the campaign, so I can see what Arcus rolls. It's fun.
It is fun to see Marley roll on, like, the other end. Like, I'm watching him.
No one's rolled a nat 1 this game. No. Ooh. Chaos Curse has come out. Disappointing.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, disappointing for me, but...
Yeah.
Nice for us.
Okay, so what did you roll for that con save, Jules?
It was a 6.
Okay, yeah. So you lost concentration on your Cloud of Daggers, and it disappeared. So it doesn't. So Frosty is coming down to a landing, and I'll be kind, he doesn't land on you, but he does try and bite.
You've said I'll be kind too many times this episode. I don't like it.
I'm so not allowed to be nice to you?
No.
Okay. You all take bludgeoning damage as the dragon lands on top of you all.
Oh,
great, I love it.
No, I'm going... So to decide who takes the brunt of the bite, we're going to do 1-2 is Waffles, 3-4 is Arcus, and 5-6 is Marley. Who takes the bite? It is Waffles.
Ah!
Hot Beans going to get bit.
Yeah. Could I antagonize the dragon to make it bite me? If I so wish.
If you want to be the target, I would say
to be the target.
Okay. As it lands, you do. What do you do to make yourself the target?
I'm like, look at me, big dumb dragon. Come and look. Come have a big fat old bite of my arm. Here you go. Come on, eat me, eat me, eat me. Do it. Come on, eat me. Come on, eat me. Come on, let's go.
You have successfully convinced me to attack you.
Marley looks over and goes, I didn't know you knew how to cast Vicious Mockery.
Eat me.
Eat me.
Well, I'm pretty sure a 27 hits you.
Okay.
So you need to take 15 piercing and 7 cold, which you can halve to 3. So 15 piercing and 3 gold.
Great, and then I'm going to use Wrath of Storm, which is when a creature within 5 feet that you can see hits you with an attack, you can use a reaction to cause the creature to make a dex saving throw.
Okay.
You've activated my trap card.
Oh, it only got an 8 on its dex save.
Great. So you're going to take 2d8 lightning damage.
Okay, so it successfully bites you, chomps down on your arm, and as a result, it takes how much?
It takes... Come on, why aren't you showing... It takes 7 damage.
Okay, there was lightning, right?
Yeah,
so yeah, you just send shocks of lightning arcing through it, and it lets go of your arm from its teeth, and it's going to do its 2 claw attacks that are the other parts of its attack. One on each of the others. So first on Hot Beans, it is a 19, and
yeah,
on Marley, it is a 23.
Fuck you.
No. So you both take 14... You both take 14 slashing.
It was
damage.
A threat. No.
No. I don't need your consent.
No. No. Wait. Take it back.
So Hot Beans and Marley both take 14 slashing as it simultaneously sweeps out 2 claws and almost in like a wolf leaping sort of motion.
Ouch.
And just, yeah, swipes you both hard.
That's how I like it. I'm very tired.
What's Marley's HP looking like? And what's Hot Beans' HP?
He's down to about he's less than a third of his total HP. Okay.
And it's Marley's turn now.
She's still firing. Makes the most sense. She's going to attack it twice.
It's just hit you with its claws, and so it's right up in your face.
Yeah, so before she does that, she's going to do her Hail of Thorns again. Fuck it. That is a dirty 20 to hit. Which will do 9 plus 18 plus the third level Hail of Thorns. 18 plus 17 is, God, that one's hard. 35? Did I get that right?
35. Yes, you did. And you know what? You don't have to roll another attack. Tell me how your Hail of Thorns kills Frosty the Ancient White Dragon, because he had 34 left.
Nice. So that gash that's over his eye that we sort of did to him the first time around, she like squares up her shield and like lines up the crossbow, and she's aiming right for that gash above its eye, hoping that it'll, like, they've made enough of a hole that her bolts could go in.
You're gonna
and lobotomize the brain.
It. You're gonna lobotomize it.
Literally, she's going for bolts to the brain. Like, yeah.
That's a big brain move.
Yeah. So you don't really see so much happen as just these bolts go clean into the gash, straight where she's aiming, disappear inside the dragon, and then the dragon sort of go, as it's like spazzing out, and then just drop.
Shot through the eye.
All of you roll a deck save as this enormous monstrously huge creature falls to the ground.
Nice, Marley.
Oh, Jesus Christ. 9.
Six.
Much better. 26.
Did Hot Beans get a 6?
He got a... he rolled low.
I thought I got a 1, but then it was a 7. I was terrified at the dice. I was like, oh, I... yeah.
So Hot Beans and Arcus both take 10 bludgeoning damage as you try to get out of the way, but you just slightly get pinned by this huge body.
I'm down for the count.
Okay, and Marley successfully hopped away.
I had 9 HP, by the way. So.
Well, I only had 10, so if I hadn't made that save, I'd be down.
Right. That's where I am.
And Marley, you hear a familiar sort of breathing sound approaching from behind, and you know that it's Hodge. He's just arrived from wherever he was.
I recognized you by your breathing.
Yeah, I think I instantly like wheel around and wrap my arms around him, just glad to see him safe, because I didn't
know. It's a different giant wolf.
No, like, haha. But I just didn't know if the dragon would have attacked him first. I wasn't sure. So to see him, to know he's okay, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Do I see Arcus go down?
You tell me. You're all sort of in the same area. And yeah, you probably wouldn't notice. You might have seen that Arcus got hit by the dragon's body.
All right.
You might not know that Arcus is unconscious.
So.
Yeah, so did you.
Ah, I'm going to throw heal at Arcus. So you instantly regain 70 points of health.
What?
Yep.
What? 70?
A 6-level druid spell that he can cast regains 70
points. I don't even
have
70 healths.
Wow, you're full health now.
Yeah, great. So, thank you.
So Hot Beans obviously wasn't knocked unconscious then.
No, he's not doing well. But I think if he's Arcus took the bite for him, and so he's
so
giving.
At a distance, it just throws 70 hit points at Arcus.
It's range 60 feet. I'm assuming we're closer than 60 feet.
That's crazy. You just throw health around the place.
Yeah,
amazing.
1 6-level spell slot, and that's what I'm choosing to spend it on.
Druids, man.
Druids,
yeah, now,
man.
All three of you are conscious and hurting.
Except
I'm full
Arcus.
Health.
Oh, yeah, you're still hurting.
I got 20 HP above my full health, though. Like, surely that's... Yeah. Like, I get what you're saying, but also, come on.
Now, you've been hurt a lot, but you've got this sort of artificial...
I have mental trauma.
If you were blind or deaf, you're no longer that. So you're actually very healthy. You're at the peak of health. This is... Yep.
This is what it's like being in your 20s. I'm at peak health excellence and my body still hurts all over.
Yeah. Marley just sort of takes out her saxophone, sort of starts playing like a little... song to herself so she can sort herself out.
Yeah, and the mice all clamber off of this mountain of scales, and they just sort of cover the area, and it's like they are putting up a protective barrier around the area. Like, this is sacred ground now for the mice. And yeah, and Marley just plays away on her saxophone.
Dragon stew for dinner tonight.
Yeah, the mice are going to eat for a long time.
A cat in every garage and a dragon in every pot.
She just cast two lots of cure wounds spells, so she's probably just sitting there playing like a little, you know.
I would love to see little mice ride around on the back of cats.
That's happening all over Banfor City.
That's beautiful. I want to live in the there, you know?
I'm sort of planning like a mini campaign of some Kiori doing a heist from another Kiori, like something happening in Banfor City, mice pulling a Robin Hood on like stealing from some rich mice. Don't know when that would ever get played, but we'll see. Yeah. We are in the aftermath. What now? You survived.
Yeah, that came pretty close though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, and there was a dragon in the middle of Stonemore, and people were running scared. And it, I think now more than ever, it hits Marley with how much danger Aizen is in. Not just us, not just the Apple Squadeth, not just the Resistance, but Aizen itself is in trouble.
It's like we're holding the fate of Aizen in our hands, you know?
It really is. And yeah, I think she'd be just sort of sitting there feeling that pretty hard right now, you know?
Because I guess there'd probably be a sense of sort of helplessness, I suppose, of like, we just went through all of that and that's just one creature. Like, what the fuck else can we do?
Cool. Hot Beans is going to like lean over to Arcus and just like, in a low voice, just ask, what the hell was that that we just fought?
It was a dragoon.
A dragoon.
Yeah, a dragoon.
Cool. I don't think I can turn into one of those.
Yet.
Yeah, well, he's going to try, but he can't. He fails.
Yet.
You know how I said to you, Brad, that Marley had a new spell?
Yeah.
And she was thinking about using it to call on someone she's never called on before.
Yes.
Yeah. So as she's hugging, like burying her face into Hodge, and it's occurring to her that she needs help. They need help. She calls out to the person that she thinks of all the time secretly in her heart of hearts and hopes one day to meet again.
Hate it.
Yeah. And she sends out into the universe hoping to find that it'll find its recipient the words, "Hi Tap. I'm facing more danger with less hope than ever before. I don't want to be alone. Come to Wellspring of Harrig. Love, Marley."
Love.
Ooh. Okay, so I get 25 words to respond to that as Tap, right?
Mm-hmm. I wrote out my 25 so I would have it right. New you brain, don't have to do this. It right now. You can.
Give me a moment. Just talk amongst yourselves for a moment.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got a topic. I was looking at my spells and how I have both lightning and thunder. And do you guys ever get like wigged out about the fact that we have a whole separate word for the sound of something?
Yes.
Like, but it makes me so mad because when I think about like, right, clap, if you clap your hands, right?
Yes.
And the sound of a clap is the sound clap, right?
Wow.
But also, what is the sound of a thunder? Thunder's sound is a thunder clap. It's a clap for thunder, but thunder is the sound of lightning.
Well, thunder is the shockwave caused by the lightning superheating the air.
And so right, the but everything has a shockwave.
Yeah.
I always thought thunder was more of a roll than a clap.
It's still a shockwave. It's still
you can have a roll of thunder. You can have a clap.
Yeah.
Rolling thunder.
Clap of thunder. I'm just saying, like, the word itself is like it's its own thing. It's not even a description of the sound.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, something can be thunderous, but it's, like, loud, I guess. Mm. It's not, like, thunder itself isn't an onomatopoeia.
Well, I guess that's why there's two spells, right? There's thunder wave and thunder clap. Like, genuinely, in D&D, there's two spells.
Yeah.
And Thunderclap only does, like, it does less damage, it goes for less distance, you know? Like, I don't know, like, It's just a quick thing, whereas the wave goes.
But technically they're both just the sound of lightning. Like technically, if we were to do it with the rules of the universe, there should be lightning spells every time there is a thunder spell.
Sure, but actually the wording of the spell is a thunderous force, and right. I think you'll find that thunderclap and thunderwave, I think, hopefully, is actually force damage.
It's trying. It's pretending to be like weather bending, yes. And yes. It's not. It's like telekinesis.
Yeah. Because if it was thunder damage, you're right. It would actually be lightning damage, but it's not. Yeah. It's force. It's the force of the wave, not really.
Yeah.
These are the hot topics that no one's talking about.
Well,
I guess so.
Lightning is hotter than the surface of the sun.
Yes. And crazy like that mine. Like people can survive having it go through them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Marley.
Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very frightening me.
Marley, you send out this desperate message to your childhood love, Tap Gripty, who grew up on the farm next to yours and who you presume you dead.
You dread.
And I'd love to say more in that message, but 25 words isn't a lot. So
you just almost like sending out a desperate beacon, almost like involuntarily. You just your heart, your soul just shoots this message out to the universe, and you hear back within a few seconds a very familiar voice saying,
"Marley, oh gods, is it really you? Where are you? We all thought you were dead. What's this wellspring of Herrig? How do I get..."
Yeah. And of course I can only cast it once because I only have 1/3 of the spell slot left. So I'm like, shit! So out loud, you just see Marley wheel around from Hodge, not even really having expected a reply, and go to say, "Bamfort!" And then realize he's not there. And then... like, realize that Tress is not there, realize that nobody's there that would understand. Arcus doesn't even know who Tap is. Like, you know, is just completely alone in this moment and just sort of drops to the ground and, you know, just kind of, like, cries.
I somewhat know your backstory now. A little bit. I wouldn't know, technically, but we went to your orchard in very early on, so I did find out about your...
Yeah, I guess it's just Tap I probably haven't explained, you know?
Yeah.
And she's probably just crying on the ground to herself to, like, frustrated she can't just cast the spell again, you know, like, and reach out again. She's just
I just want to text him, but I've run out of texts for this month.
Literally, that's exactly what it's like right now. She's like, I need to go to sleep right now.
The thing is, like, to metagame a little bit, Hot Beans kind of has a solution to this, but he has no idea about any of this, and so
all he sees is this girl just be like, "Bamfort, and then just
he is going to, as a cantrip, he can do a thing called druidcraft, from his armor he's just gonna have a flower appear. And he's going to pick it and give it to you and say, I don't know what your situation is, but you seem really cool. I hope this helps." And he's just going to give you the flower.
And she sort of takes it and she's like, "Thanks, hot, cold, cool beans. I've lost which one you are."
Just beans, Mr. Beans.
You're hot and you're cold. You're yes and you're no.
Yep. Oh, no, actually... he looks you in the eyes and says, "We've just fought a dragoon together. No point."
Dragoon, that is the correct pronunciation. Yes.
No points for, no point being false or deceptive. And he says the mice have sort of made the area secure, and he sort of puts out a hand and he says, "My name is Drew. Drew Id." That's my real name.
Of course you have three names. Couldn't be enough.
I go by aliases. I have millions of names all over the... Everywhere I've been, I have a different name, but my real, true name that was given to me at birth was Drew Id. from the Id clan.
Hi.
That's right. Nahir, your name is Elias?
Sure. Yeah.
Yep.
I just got some good news, I think. Good news, bad news. They thought I was dead. They really thought I was dead. She's just like saying that kind of, you know.
Arcus hugs her.
Aww.
Yeah, and she leans in. She needs an Arcus hug right now, you know.
It's fluffy.
It's fluffy and cloudy and maybe a little bit damp, but like that covers the tears anyway, you know. Like
yeah, like a pillow you've been sobbing into.
Yeah, exactly like that. It's probably quite comforting. And she's like, you know, thanks, Arcus. And she sort of sniffs and then sort of wipes it up very ladylike.
On Arcus.
On Arcus.
Wipes nose on Arcus. Just blow it out. Just do it. It's fine. It's all water particles.
I'm sorry. And then she sort of blows on her saxophone to like kind of get it out. Like almost like you blow your nose, but she's not blowing her nose. She's just like, it like centers her, you know?
Oh. While this is all happening, I'm going to examine Hodge. Can I try using one of my wild shapes to see if I can become Hodge? Or a Hodge-like being?
Hang on, because
you can go CL. Yeah, you can go CL1, can't you?
Is Hodge a CL1?
No.
Because I think he's a larger than usual almost direwolf, but not.
You could be a mini-me.
I'm going to turn into a direwolf anyways, and...
Yeah, because it'd be close enough. Yeah,
yeah. And I'm just gonna...
I'm pretty sure he's a CR2 or a CR3 even. I can't find his stats that I made, but
it's fine.
A direwolf would be similar.
Yeah, I'm just going to become a direwolf and hang with Hodge as a wolf. Can I talk to Hodge as a wolf?
Sure, you can have a convo with him.
Awesome.
He looks super confused watching you turn into something that looks kind of like him. Does that like dog head tilt?
Transformers, weird, it doesn't actually say. Meets the
eye. And then, yeah, as you become a wolf, he says in wolf, "Hey, thanks for helping to make her not die." Just like waves his muzzle at Marley.
Oh, she, she's a god. We can't afford to let the gods die.
She's a what?
Yeah, a god. I'm sure you're like a demigod or something. I'm fairly sure in the temple of Marley there's a shrine
to
you.
I died.
Did you? Wow. I almost died.
Hodges are Jesus.
Yes.
I like the thought of like Hodges probably flexing his big old like white and gold feathered wings right now, being like, I died. See? Angel wings. Yes.
I used to have those, but then they died. The eagle part of me died. So I used to have wings. Flying's fun,
isn't
it?
Eagle part of me died. Yep. You're like, you're never allowed to be an eagle ever again. That part of you is dead now.
Aww.
Yeah, Hodge just saw almost as if like, I don't know, you can't tell if it's like out of trying to add some like levity to the situation or if he just isn't really that clued into the severity of the situation you've just been through, and he just goes, flying's cool, eh?
Yeah. Can I just have a chat with Hodge about how awesome flying is and like swap flying tips?
Yep, you do that. So Hot Beans the Wolf is talking to Hodge. And meanwhile, Waffles, I'll let you take over as DM for the Kiordi.
Ooh, cool.
In the area.
Yep. So now that the area has been secured, so I'm assuming that Arcus, Marley, and Druid are the only three humanoids, biglings, in the area.
Oh, that, and you don't know the situation with that cloaked figure that Arcus saw earlier, ducking away into the rubble.
Riding the dragon, yeah.
Oh yeah, I would probably try and mention that while we were hugging. I didn't do it before the fight, but now the fight's over, I'd probably be like, by the way, guys, I saw this thing.
Yeah, I think you're trying to tell me about the hooded figure. I'm trying to tell you about the message in my head. And there's like two cross conversations happening at the same time. And
we're
both
still
of
hugging
going,
while it's happening. We're like
and this? Then both of us like end it with like, wait, what? Like at each other's thing. Yeah.
Yeah, let's play that out. You say your thing, I'll say my thing. Ready, set, go. Right before so we entered in the like dragon,
and it turns out I
saw
dead,
this hooded figure run away.
Probably gonna
I can't
come
really
to
remember
the
what was happening,
but I've run out of spells, so I can't spell it.
Growl,
and
growl, growl,
and
we should probably do something about that. You know,
growl, growl, wolf.
Yeah.
Wait.
What?
What?
Squeak, squeak, squeak.
And the piglings are just weird, aren't they? Yeah.
That might have been my favorite thing of the whole episode. And if it's not going to be good on podcast, but I still love it.
They're all like individually recorded, right? So if need be, I'm sure we can place them better together, right? Yeah.
Yep. And my one was very valuable. We can't lose that.
Oh, no. No.
Definitely not.
Correct.
Nice.
The growls really added a lot of ambience to the whole situation.
So the Kiori, with the area secure, some of them, a few of them, the scouts, are sent back to Banfor City to report the news. So the scout mice, they sort of mount their battle cats, which they were driving in on. I'm assuming they brought some with them. And so they quickly race back. The rest of them divide into two groups. And so half of them continue to keep the perimeter. So they will. So some of them will be on the ground. Some of them will be climbing up sort of nearby buildings. And the other half will start to dismantle this dragoon and take anything of value. And so they start sort of trying to rip away the scales.
This is just like Pacific Rim.
Yeah. And so eventually some of the merchant Kiori come with a few wagons and they're pretty much...
30 wagons!
Yes. And so they're dismantling this dragoon. So they're taking the scales to be made into defensive armor or weapons or whatever they can do with them. They're taking the meat for food because, you know, there's a million mice in Banfor City.
Each
and they got to
eat. Could be like a shield.
Yeah.
Of its
so,
own.
So right now, that's pretty much what they're planning on doing. So when in the future, probably in a couple of days, the battle Kiori are going to be, equipped with these dragon scale shields. And so they're just slowly dismantling the Dragoon over a period of 19 days. They're just going to continue to work at this.
Lump in the middle of the city square that the Queen's just going to allow for 19 days.
Yeah, well, they're like, if anybody comes in, there's going to be sort of confrontations. They'll let... If the Bigling seems friendly, they will escort them through without going near the Dragoon. If the Bigling seems a bit more confrontational, then there'll be a confrontation. And so people will get the sort of sense that, you can go through there, just don't touch the Dragoon. That's the Kiori's. The Kiori have claimed this Dragoon.
It becomes a hot tourist attraction too.
Yep. And they eventually start, when they get to the bones and stuff, they sort of bring them all back. And when the Dragoon is finally finished off, you'll see that there's a tiny Kiori outpost, a colony, as it were, that's sort of been built. And so there's now a little outpost of Kiori living where this Dragoon landed.
I feel like Queen Shan probably would, tell me if I'm overstepping my bounds here, but like probably would be like coming down with a convoy to see what happened. Right.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And they'd be sending in researchers, academics, scientists.
Well, that's what I was thinking. So then we could have a quick conversation with Queen Shan, right? Like technically.
They wouldn't send down straight away. This is over the period of the following days. So like while the dismantling and stuff is happening, there would definitely be royal interference.
All right. Well,
but like in the immediate aftermath, it's just you. You're all being left alone.
I don't know if you want to roleplay this out, but I know Marley would be there being like, Queen Shan, like, you know us, you trust us. Essentially, look at how much the Kiori did for you. Here.
I have something planned for this, if you guys want to roll it out.
Yeah.
All right. How would you guys like to do a skills challenge?
Okie dokie.
Great. So effectively, I was planning, and ever the case with Queen Shan got involved, that we would have a diplomatic skills challenge where Arcus and Marley would do the skills challenge to see how well the diplomacy goes between the Kiori and the Biglings. And I'm going to set a
success of 3. So just you got to pass 3 skills.
Oh, I thought you meant like the level, like difficulty of 3.
Oh, no. I'm going to set the difficulty at 12. And so you just got to pass a 12. And so, yeah, so you got to pass sort of 3 times. I would say 3 times between you. 3 successes and the diplomacy goes well. 3 failures, not so well.
Okay, so Queen Shan ventures down from the Royal Keep to the site of the Dragoon within a few hours of the fight. So you've had a bit of a chance to recuperate and gather your senses. And yeah, you notice this procession of guards coming down, and then they part, and Queen Shan alone steps through them to see you. And you could tell by the expression on her face as she approaches that she's not at all surprised at who it was that stopped the dragon. She expected to see you here. And she just walks up to you and stands silently, but with like an open body, like body language. Her palms are open upward. She is open to you starting the conversation.
I hug her.
I mean,
palms open outward. She's obviously asking for a hug.
She looks a bit surprised, but she lets it happen.
And Marley does the traditional bow, courtly bow that she's sort of known for.
And then she says, as if it wasn't enough, what you did for me and the kingdom up there, and she gestures to the big mountain behind the city, the kingdom of Brus cannot thank you enough for the amazing feat you have achieved today.
Marley sort of bows again, like shorter, and just sort of says, well, you know, couldn't let anything happen to Craft Tavern and Banfor City, and like grins, you know, like
she chuckles, like you're pretending to be selfish, but I know it's just a facade.
Yeah. Speaking of which, though, we do have a small boon to ask of you, if you would grant us one small favor.
I will try to do whatever is in my royal capacity.
See the Kiori over here.
Okay, and how's your skills challenge?
Yeah.
Into combat. Dun, 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 dun. I use diplomacy. sorry.
It was not effective.
Oh, no. Hey.
Oh, Molly's going to obviously go for a persuasion roll based on the fact that they obviously had a lot to do with saving the city. Therefore, she should at least hear them out.
Yep. I thought you were going to say, I cast command and say, leave.
No, I just want them to get their audience and them to be able to have the space to plead their own case. I'm not trying to plead for them. I'm trying to let them have a space to plead, because that's how it should be. The parliament should be heard themselves so that they have their own power. Yeah, that's how she feels.
We're like a reference.
Yeah, I get a 21 persuasion.
That beats a 12.
Success.
Success?
I'm gonna, I'll be like, you know, the Kiori, they actually have their own religion and churches. You know, it would be religious persecution, not only to not give them their rights, but to not. But to charge them tax would also be, you know, they should be giving all their money to their gods. So I use religion. Oh, I got a nat 20, so I get 25.
Success.
Woo. How many passes were we need again?
You just 3, need one more. Right?
Yep. Okay, cool. Marley whips her coat around herself. It's like, you know, and then somehow does a quick change underneath and comes out in her full-on performance garb. You know, it's like all bard, like full-on bard court colours. And whips out her saxophone and starts telling a story about how Banfor City came to be. But it's a little...
embellished.
It's a little embellished and a little of things hidden, but gives it this like grand history and like eloquent like storytelling, you know? and sort of punctuated in places by music. You know, that's what she's doing.
Queen Shan is immediately quite taken aback at the sudden change of clothes, and you begin playing a saxophone, like, in her royal presence. And, yeah, I guess, yeah, you're going to have to roll to see how she takes it.
I'm going for a performance check with a nat 20! So that's a 29! That is a 29 performance.
I swear to God, this session is the best we have ever rolled. Like,
I know!
Incredible.
It's so, and the thing is
I love the fact that you can back me on it too. Like, yeah. I'm like, I'm seeing yours, you're seeing mine. Right? And it's like,
The way that you literally cannot cheat because there are people watching you roll the whole time.
It's so good.
Yep. I'm going to say, with the success, the kiori part, and you see these four kiori coming in who look very important. They're in very fine garb. One of them is wearing what looks like a cat fur suit. One of them is wearing a rabbit fur suit. One of them is decked out in what looks like a Tuatara armor. And another one...
No! No! They're endangered!
All from old animals that died a natural death. And
there's
the other
heaps
one,
of them in ice, it's fine.
Heaps of them.
They're breeding them, you know? They're allowed to eat some of them.
And, to the keep last, up. Yes. And the last one is wearing a cloak of fur bird.
Yeah,
fur bird feathers. And they come in, and there's a mobile platform, which is about a meter high, that they're sort of riding on, and there's all these other kiori pushing along the sides, and it's slowly trundling up. And they come to Queen Shan, and she, obviously being very impressed by your persuasion skills and your performances and religion and everything, enter into a dialogue. And these four kiori are Oliver, Jules, and Brad, who are the Prime Minister, Deputy Prime Minister, Speaker of the House, and Leader of the Opposition, in that order.
Oh, the Leader of the Opposition.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Of course you are, Brad.
And they have now entered into dialogue with Queen Shan for diplomacy. You guys succeeded in diplomacy.
It's up to them now. It's in their hands now. We can't do any more than that.
They're now hashing out a treaty settlement.
Mm.
Let's hope it goes better than ours.
And that's the end of the episode, I suppose.
That's the end of the episode.
Growl, growl, woof, growl.
The episode.
Yes. Woof. Nice.
I'm so disappointed I didn't get to trigger anyone.
It'll be tough.
What?
It's my terrible attempt at a southern accent.
Southern accent. There's it reminds me of my uncle does he sells
drugs to kids.
No, kind of no. no, he makes oils and things from nuts and he makes nut oil. You know, as you do. And
so do I sometimes.
don't we all he makes nut oils and other sort of natural health oil things, and it has a company, and he was doing big trying to sort out something with this Texan person. And you know how Kiwis are when they're talking about things, and he's like got a very Kiwi accent. He's like talking in a mile a minute up here, and no one knows what he's saying because he's just talking too fast. You don't know what's going on. So he's talking, trying to do this deal with him, and the Texan's like, whoa, slow down. In Texas, we not only talk slow, we think slow too. Which is just
that's not the
best
flex you think it is. You've muted yourself, Jules. You laughed yourself onto the mute button.
It's the best self-burn that I've ever witnessed in real life.
Beautiful. There we are. You have opened the door for Kiori slash humanoid interrelations in politics. You have defeated Frosty, the ancient white dragon. There's still a nest full of other white dragons on a nearby mountain, but it's not your problem anymore. Would you seek out a long rest, or would you check in with Haydet to see what fresh horrors he's got ready for you?
Oh, I think we should long rest, right?
Yep.
You know, no, that the surge is like three days away or something. Or three or four. I can't remember which.
I was going to open the locker. I don't think I actually did open the locker, but I was going to open the locker
for something and then shut it and run away? Or did we find out what he wanted to say?
No, I don't think we actually really did.
You know, what he told you was, what he was telling you was that Frosty, was that, yeah, first that Frosty was freeing itself from the mountain.
Yeah.
And then Frosty was getting ready to take off, and there's someone on his back, and then it was, ah, dragon.
Yeah. So we kind of dealt with what he had to instantly tell us, and I think, like, Marley would sort of open up the locker again and then just sort of say into the void, I swear to God, Hayden, if you tell us that we've beaten the dragon, I will beat you. I will come, I will find a way. You better hold that message.
Yeah. Wow, you're doing surprisingly well against that dragon, Marley.
Marley specifically. It's really good for you, Marley.
A second or two passes, and then you hear, those mice are doing a lot of the heavy lifting. That's great. And then another second or two passes and says... He says, oh, sorry, I mean Kiori. Don't mean to offend your friend Hot Beans, wherever he is. He's probably still with you by the time you're listening to this.
God of knowledge should know that.
He's talking to you from a few minutes ago. Oh, hours, actually, before Queen Shan arrived. And then, so what day is this? The surge is 6 days away from now. And he says, I know you don't exactly want to hear this right now, but get yourself a long rest and then check in with me in the morning, because, oh boy, I've got something that definitely needs your help, but there's nothing you can do about it in your current state.
After waiting for all of these messages, kind of like almost tapping her foot as usual when she's frustrated with all of this coming through, she's like, you know, it would be a lot more helpful if you could turn off the past ones when I open the locker if they're not helpful. Anyway,
now you have to press four, I think.
You should know this.
Like, skip, skip, skip. It's like, you know, when you're like listening to phone messages and you're like, delete. Delete.
Yeah, you have to press four. To get...
Next message.
Delete, so, old message.
Yeah, so she kind of says into the locker, hey there, I do you have ways of contacting people other than us?
There's a pause, and then he responds with, I can't directly speak into the minds of any mortals, but I can inspire them to take certain actions, like when I inspired your friend Zathan to go searching for the underground city that was beneath their feet. That sort of thing.
Is there any way you could perhaps inspire Tat to come across a book or something that would tell him where the Wellspring of Harrog is?
I don't think he would have access to anything like that, but I can inspire him to head in that direction, at least. I see that you've told him about it.
He knows the name. I can't tell him the location yet. And it's going to be 8 hours before I can.
Make a religion check.
I feel like we should get buffs to all of our religion checks because we have people that are praying to us.
Yeah. Only 13.
Okay. Yeah, with that, he says, well, I've just given Tap a little nudge for you.
You've
really
given
it's up
a little tap.
I've given him a tap. Ha ha! It's humor week here in Iceland. just says, but really, that's the best I can do. It's sort of up to his abilities and his own wisdom, I suppose. At this point, I have faith in him, though.
That'll do. Thank you, Hadiet. She's like tired and kind of like emotionally wrung out after that encounter.
Yep. So you've told Tap about the Wellspring of Harrig, and Hadiet has just sort of, while Tap's sitting there thinking about the ramifications of, like, she's not actually dead, she wants to see me again, she's mentioned this thing, I need to find out about this thing, he suddenly gets hit
she's
with
mentioned
this.
She's in a lot of danger.
Yeah, he gets hit with this sudden, like, burning desire in the back of his mind to get to that thing. He doesn't know how, he doesn't know what, but he's like, I that's the thing I have to do.
Close enough.
Gang.
Yeah, so Hadiet has said that there is something bad that needs your attention tomorrow.
There is something bad that needs our attention tomorrow.
Yeah, I think hearing that, Marley would be like, back to Craft Tavern, everyone. Let's get some sleep and deal with this in the morning.
Let's get some cider.
Yeah, are you coming, Hop Beans? Or is this where you leave us?
I mean, if you'll have me, the Kiori situation's all dealt with, and there's things to protect, and I like protecting things. If you'll let me tag along, I'd love to. Yeah, sure. And he sort of starts tearing up, and I've never had friends before.
Arcus hugs him.
Aw.
They're true.
A crossbow bolt through the dragon's eye and into its brain? Now that is a sweet kill. If I was ever an enraged ancient white dragon who'd just returned from being locked behind a magical barrier for thousands of years, that's how I'd like to go. What else can Hadiet possibly have in store for them? With the surge only days away, will Marley and Arcus ever get a chance to know peace? At least Marley finally reached out to her childhood love, Tap. I think in the darkest of times, it's important to have even the smallest beacon of hope. Ooh, write that down. We couldn't make this show at all without the love from our awesome supporters over at patreon.com/fateofisen. Seriously, we're able to make this show because of you. Thank you so much. Alex White, Robinson Person, Who Wants to Say Anonymous, Robert Baldino from Not Quite Heroes Podcast, Irene Cucci, Laura Christine Goodman, and James Blyser from Wheeler, Woz, Archer Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Ziggler, Roger Afamata, Sam Malcolm from Table Tales, Corinne Forrest, Lauren Flake, Kay Dealer, Brianna Kavalsa, Kevin Swift from The Dice Cult, Ben Edwards, Victorian Gavin Porter, Daniel Nickers from The Happy Go Lucky Podcast, KP Squished, Alexandra Litkites, Andrew Evans, Danny Holman from The Gradiva Podcast, Kevin Carver, Dakota Szymanski, Damien Liberton, Andrew M, and Alexander Waffles Williams. Anyway, that is it for this week. Thank you so much for listening to episode, 11. That's right, episode 11 of Chapter 6. We will be back next time with episode 12. Thanks, everyone.
Necropodicon. Hard to pronounce? Easy to listen.